Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Beverly Flexington is here, too. Bev is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's a business advisor and a consultant, a corporate coach, a trainer, co-founder of The Collaborative, which is a sales and marketing consultancy. She's talked to us in the past about several of her programs to help her clients and you and me put our best foot forward in the marketplace, and she's here to do that again. Beverly Flexington, welcome back to the show.
Always happy to be here, Jim. Thank you for asking me.
An award-winning author, folks, Make Your Shift is her new book, The 5 Most Powerful Moves You Can Make to Get Where You Want to Go. And that's the most recent one, right, Bev?
Actually, the most recent one is a book called The Pocket Guide to Sales for Financial Advisors.
Okay.
And in the middle, I wrote Self-Talk for a Calm Review.
I have that one here. There you go. So check all that out, folks. Bev, you posted an interesting question. Okay, you have a business plan, but do you have a growth plan? A lot of people would think that was a curious question, because they would think, well, duh, I have a business plan. Of course it's a growth plan, but it might not be, right?
So it's an interesting dilemma, I think, for a lot of small business owners, Jim, in that, you know, they do look at the business overall, and of course they'll set growth goals, right? What's their objective? How much do they want to sell? What do they want to be able to accomplish in the new year in terms of new revenue, income? But they don't actually have a plan for how do I get from here to there. And I really see it as a totally separate plan that should be done outside of the business plan, because it really takes a specific focus.
So you're saying I'm projecting to grow 10% this year, but I haven't detailed how that's going to happen.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, you and I see this all the time. You know, so many small business people are very good at the technical side of what they mm-hmm. do. They know their the
operational
business so
side.
Well, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're they know their business. They know their product, their service. They are entrenched in the day-to-day business, but they're not necessarily thinking about all of the aspects. Who are we going to be in the market? How are we going to mm-hmm. reach our target market? What's our tactical plan? Where are we going to spend the marketing dollars? Who's mm-hmm. going to go out and, you know, initiate the...
And there's another thing going on right now, Beverly, and this is something I've been talking about a lot, and that is how customer expectations have changed in the last few years. If you were in business in the 90s and the last decade, the previous decade, you know, this decade, people have different expectations. And if you talked about your marketing plan, where do you allocate your revenue your expenses, your budget to advertise and market, you've got to know what your customers are expecting from you, and they've changed.
And that's a big piece, I think, of the growth plan is going
no
out.
About
what's
it.
Worked, right? What has
no question
it?
About it. Yeah.
Customer surveying, understanding what your market has liked about what you've done, what you need to do differently. But Jim, and you and I have talked about this so much. I really do think that this is a matter, though, of really breaking down to the step by step by step. You can't just say we're going to open a new distribution channel this year. Where? Who's going to identify them? Who's going to contact them? How are you going to, you know, kind of market to them, drip on them, we call it? How are you, you know, what's in it for them? What's the proposal going to be? So getting very, very specific about what you're going to do and who's going to do it, I do not see a lot of small businesses do this. I don't see a lot of large businesses
right.
do this.
A lot of times they don't. Let's walk through those steps. What's the first thought? I want to grow 10%, or I want to expand to another county. What would be the first motivation?
So we talk about it as setting the desired outcome and being both quantitative and qualitative. So, you know, if you think about it, if you say, I want to be able to grow 10%, and you and I live this, so we know. So I could grow this year, Jim, but I might grow with clients that I don't really enjoy working with. They're not a good fit for my firm.
Right.
They end up, you know, causing me more angst than, you know, the revenue is worth.
Yeah, the people who really want to do business with me might not be paying me regularly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And think about the amount of energy we can spend with a customer who is a smaller customer but very needy versus someone who's a larger customer. But that larger customer may not refer to me and may not be somebody that I can expand the business from. So I think setting that desired outcome and having the quantitative piece, I want to grow by X percent, but the qualitative piece, what kind of customers do you want to have? Mm-hmm. What do you want the business to look like?
And when we talk about growth, we're talking about sales revenue, right?
I think it's the dual piece of sales revenue, but certainly what's my profit line.
That's what I was going to ask you. If we're talking growth with sales, especially a small business, you must have the companion to the revenue number must be a comparable gross profit number.
I think so, because I could spend a lot of money to go out and obtain those new customers, and I might grow my top line 10%, and my bottom line might actually drop because of the investment I've had to make, and that's not sustainable.
Isn't that really where, so Beverly, I mean, I don't know what you guys do, but shouldn't my first motivation be not that I want to grow sales 8%, 10%, but I want to grow my gross profit by 3%? And so if I'm going to go gross profit by 3%, that means I've got to grow 11% sales, whatever. You see what I mean? It's not what you make, it's what you keep, isn't it?
Yeah, very well said. But that's where I think the difference is between the business plan and the sales plan, or the growth plan, as we're calling it. I think that my business plan absolutely needs to look at my bottom line, because my business plan is going to take into account, where am I spending my money? It's going to look at, you know, my operational infrastructure, my efficiency. A good business plan is going to look at all of the components of my business. So
the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah. I see it as being kind of covered there, but then I have to figure out what is that top line number I'm trying to get to, and then specifically what's my growth plan that I need to execute alongside to get there.
And the revenue and the gross profit really need to be companions, not the gross profit doesn't need to be an afterthought to revenue, right? They need to be companions, side by side.
I think you're right. You start with that gross profit, and then you gross back up to what the revenue needs to be.
Hold on to that thought, Beverly. Quick break, folks. Right back with Beverly Flaxington. Don't forget, her book is called Make Your Shift. That's one of them. The other is called Self-Talk for a Calmer You.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.